So only a few weeks ago, we witnessed a rare occurrence. And that was the visit of Pope Francis to the United States, the first of a pope in a number of years, and this particular pope creating quite a stir, basically a religious rock star, as he was received here in the U.S. There are many reasons to be a fan and fond of his reforms to the Roman Catholic hierarchy and church. And yet we still may take issue with some of what he said and did, I do, and including some of the people with whom he met, as many of us do. But one of the interesting things that happened during his visit, you will recall, was he addressed a joint session of our U.S. Congress. It was a notable occurrence. And you might recall, in that address, he called to account our elected representatives here in this most powerful nation in the world. And he urged them to make their decisions based upon a simple and very familiar principle, the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And if you remember, as he spoke those words to the joint session of Congress, they erupted in an ovation. Curious. While his address apparently led to the resignation of the Speaker of the House, who was apparently morally convicted by his words, I do sincerely wonder what other difference, if any, might his address have made. Why is it that something that is so simple, so straightforward, and so universally recognizable as morally and ethically sound, why is it so hard to act upon it? It makes me think of those stories in the Gospels of the early fans of Jesus who followed him in hordes. They acclaimed his words and his teaching, but when it came to the time when he challenged them to live the way he lived and actually follow him with their own actions, well, oh Jesus, your words are so lovely, but you actually want us to put them into practice, well, thanks, but no thanks. That's just a little bit too hard. So, we as a community here at MCC Portland have undergone a period of considerable stress recently as we deliberated about this building, and we face some considerable upcoming stresses as well. Discussions about our budget, our congregational meeting, beginning the process for preparing for a building search. And I don't know about you, but I find that in times of stress and challenge, I do not always act or speak my best. Am I the only one who has that occurrence? Oh, thank you. Thank you, Gail. Thank you, Gail. Yes, Gail and I are the only ones that, oh, and Reverend Deborah, thank you, yes. That when we are stressed and challenged, we often do not act or speak our best. So it is this week and next week, as we reflect and experience stresses and challenges, I wanted to remind us first of this most fundamental ethical standard that we have. And then second, next week, some ways that we might apply it in community. The simple standard to in all things do to others as you would have them do to you. Let me say, I am not one who believes that all religions say the same thing. Now, I am a student of the wisdom of all traditions, but a follower of Jesus Christ. And as a student of religions, it's important to recognize that they differ, often quite profoundly, in how they understand the universe, its source, its end, whether there is one God, many gods, or any God at all. They do ask similar questions about human existence, but they come up with quite different answers sometimes, we must recognize. What's the source and the explanation of the suffering and brokenness? What is its remedy? Where did we come from? Where are we going? What, if anything, comes before or after this earthly life? So to suggest that all religions are the same diminishes the diversity of their wisdom. And I will add, in our pluralistic world, to dismiss someone's differences is, in fact, a dangerous ignorance. However, as different as these religions are in their theological and philosophical realms, they do, in fact, converge in the realm of ethical behavior. Very observably so. They differ in what to believe, but they agree on how it is we are to act. What we call the Golden Rule is also sometimes called the Ethic of Reciprocity. And it has dozens of parallel sayings across many, many, many religions, if you are not aware. We heard this morning the second reading from the Akaranga Sutra, which is a sacred text of Jainism. It was probably written about 500 years before the modern era, 500 years BC. And Jainism, if you've never heard of it, is actually one of the world's oldest religions, likely more than 4,000 years old, born in ancient India before Buddhism and Hinduism even, about 60 million current followers. And as you can imagine from that reading, Jainism is radically nonviolent, not only towards other persons, but all beings. Gandhi was a student of Jainism and learned much from it. In fact, the most devout Jains, and I observed this on a trip to India I was fortunate to have, they will in fact sweep the ground in front of their feet so that they do not inadvertently step on an insect. They will even wrap their mouths and nose with gauze so they do not inadvertently inhale small insects and organisms and cause their death. So this reading from the Akaranga Sutra is a poetic and challenging rendering of this universal rule, but here it echoed. I'm going to give you several other examples from around the world. In the Baha'i religion, if your eyes be turned towards justice, choose for your neighbor that which you would choose for yourself. In Islam, none of you truly believes until you wish for another what you wish for yourself. Hinduism, this is the sum of all dharma, of all teaching. Do nothing to another which would cause pain if done to you. Buddhism, hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. Ancient Roman religion, contemporary to Judaism and Christianity, the law imprinted on the hearts of all people is to love the members of the society as themselves. Zoroastrianism, whatever is disagreeable to yourself, do not do unto others. Confucianism, try your best to treat others as you wish to be treated yourself, and you will find this is the shortest way to compassion. That's just a little sampler from religions that emerged independently around the world. And before Christianity, Judaism had already summed up this principle. There's a writing in the Talmud, that authoritative writing in Judaism. A Gentile once approached the esteemed Rabbi Hillel with the request to be converted to Judaism. And this particular Gentile did not want to go through the lengthy process of learning, so he asked Hillel, "I want you to teach me the entire Torah while I stand on one foot. Teach me the entire Torah while I stand on one foot." And Hillel responded, "That is simple. Do not do to others that which you hate done to yourself. That is the entire Torah. The rest is commentary. Go and study it." So even before Jesus said, "That is the sum of the law and the prophets," his tradition already proclaimed the Golden Rule. It seems that it doesn't matter what religion one follows, it is a truth, a spiritual truth that we all seem to agree upon simply because somehow we recognize in our spirits it's the right thing to do. Why so hard? The rendering of this rule for our Christian tradition, as in all things, is the teaching and example of Jesus Christ. And today we found its rendering in the excerpt from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. That's what we heard today. And likewise, it is found in the Sermon on the Plain in Luke. Remember that? Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's Sermon on the Plain, Luke, there will be a test. Matthew and Luke share many of the same sayings, but they set them in different orders very often. In Luke, which we didn't hear today, the Golden Rule follows the teaching to turn the other cheek, to go the extra mile, etc. Those are familiar sayings. Actually seems a pretty natural setting for doing unto others. And in Matthew that we hear here, after Jesus describes the goodness of God that exceeds even the goodness that we experience and extend as human parents, the rule is stated, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is the sum of the law and the prophets. And then, if you were listening, it's immediately followed by this other saying. The only place this saying happens, enter through the narrow gate. Enter through the narrow gate. Now, because they are remembered and rendered differently in the Gospels, we can't know exactly the order in which Jesus said these things. But it's in Matthew's order today that I find it illuminating. It recognizes that something that is so universally understood can be so incredibly hard to do. Is committing in all things do to others as you would have them do to you, not just the Golden Rule, but is it also the path through the narrow gate? Again, it sounds like a helpful reminder that it's our actions that first make the way, and not necessarily what it is that we believe, but it's what we put into practice that makes the greatest difference in our spiritual life, and the greatest difference, perhaps, to God. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. Simple, universal. Why so hard? Why the gate so narrow to get through? I think, at least, it lies in our tendency to insist that I am, in fact, not like them. That we otherize others. There is me, and there are people I like that I consider to be like me, and there are those who are unlike me. So to avoid treating them as we would ourselves, we have to make them unlike ourselves. We distance me and us from them by having all kinds of labels and names. They are illegal immigrants. They are mentally ill. They are dangerous thugs. They are homeless panhandlers. There is us and there is them. They are not like me, so I don't have to treat them as I would want to be treated. But what if there is no real, essential difference between me and you, between us and them? I know the migrant is like me. They're in search of a home free from war. I know the child cowering in terror under a desk is like me, afraid and wanting to be safe. I know
The shooter is like me, because I know inside of me there is a seed of anger that could become lethal rage. I know the tyrant is like me, because I know what it feels like to project a facade of strength to conceal vulnerability. In all things, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We aim and we strive, and we so often fall short, as do I, in word and action and attitude. It's the narrow gate. It is the hard way, because it demands our humility and our grace, neither of which comes terribly easily to any of us, does it? With all of our differences, with all of the stresses or challenges we may face, whatever we may disagree about, can we affirm that we are, in fact, one world, one people, and we are called to follow one rule? It may be a narrow gate and a hard way, but it also says it is the way that leads to life. May you and I and we be among those who find it.